Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
I live in the state of Illinois, and it is an abortion-friendly state. There's no doubt about it, and it's got a chance here, a very good chance of becoming even more friendly to abortion if both the legislature and the governor have anything to say about it. They're planning on repealing a pro-life parental notification law in Illinois, one of the few laws in the state that is in any way impacting the number of abortions. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to talk about two issues with Dr. Michael New: that repeal of a pro-life parental notification law in Illinois and media coverage of a new abortion poll on Roe v. Wade. Dr. Michael New is a regular guest visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and columnist for National Review Online. Dr. New, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this Illinois parental involvement law.
Sure. Illinois, like about 38 other states, has a parental involvement law in place. You know, these 38 states require that girls interested in obtaining an abortion have to involve their parents in some way. Some states require parental consent. Illinois has a little bit of a weaker law. It only requires parental notice. But again, these laws are just good public policy. If a minor girl wants an Advil, typically she has to get parental permission if she wants to go to her school nurse. If she wants to get an abortion, she should have to involve her parents as well.
What is the history of this law?
Sure. Back in 1995, Illinois had a Republican governor, Jim Edgar, and he signed this bill into law. And this law went through a very extensive series of legal challenges. It was probably one of the most litigated parental involvement laws in the history of the country. It did not take effect till 18 years later. It was not until 2013 that this law took effect. So pro-life groups really invested quite a lot in trying to defend the law. Groups that support legal abortion invested a lot in trying to get the law struck down. But after a very extensive series of legal appeals, the law took effect in 2013.
Illinois has become something of an abortion mecca. How did that happen?
Well, essentially, Illinois is surrounded by other states that have good pro-life laws in place. Indiana, Iowa, Missouri, Kentucky, Wisconsin. None of these states cover abortion through their state Medicaid program. All of these states have some kind of parental involvement laws. So women who want to obtain abortions in states where the laws are more permissive end up going to Illinois. And that's kind of how Illinois became an abortion mecca.
So what are the data on Illinois' abortion rate?
Well, Illinois certainly has an above-average abortion rate. The most recent data from Guttmacher, which is from 2017, indicates that the abortion rate in Illinois is about 21% higher than the average. And there's a variety of reasons for this, but one important reason is its policies are a lot more permissive. In 2017, Governor Rauner signed a bill that required the state Medicaid program to cover elective abortion. So women on Medicaid in Illinois, they can have their abortions paid for with taxpayer dollars. And it should come as no surprise that abortion numbers went up. In 2018, we saw a 9% increase in the number of abortions taking place in Illinois. Now, while this is happening, you know, the parental involvement law in Illinois was doing some good. Between 2012 and 2018, we saw the number of abortions performed on minors in Illinois go down by 50%. But unfortunately, since this parental involvement law is about to be repealed, we're going to lose a lot of that progress.
How do you explain the move to repeal this parental involvement law?
Well, it's unfortunate. The Democratic Party has just become a lot more politically liberal on sanctity of life issues. At one point, they were willing to allow a lot of these incremental laws to stand. You know, there was never a serious push to require state Medicaid programs to cover abortion. There was never really a serious push to, you know, weaken or repeal parental involvement laws. But, you know, as the Democratic Party has become more liberal on this issue, when Democrats take control of the state legislature and control the governor's mansion, these pro-life laws are often repealed. In recent years, we've seen both Illinois and Maine require their state Medicaid programs to cover elective abortion. We saw Massachusetts weaken their pro-life parental involvement law. And sadly, this parental involvement law in Illinois is about to be repealed as well.
What are the benefits of parental involvement laws?
Well, parental involvement laws confer a lot of benefits. They protect minor girls, and they protect preborn children. I mean, most importantly, there's a very broad body of research showing you pass a pro-life parental involvement law, minor abortion rates go down. They go down by about 15%, according to most studies. So, you know, those are unborn children that are saved, and those are minor girls that don't have to deal with a lifetime of regret. They have other public health benefits as well. There's other good research showing that these parental involvement laws reduce teen pregnancy rates. They reduce the incidence of sexually transmitted diseases among teens, and they also reduce teen suicide rates. So they do a lot of good for public health.
Turning to another subject, the Washington Post and ABC News recently conducted a poll on abortion. How was this poll reported in the media?
Most media outlets reported this poll as showing very strong support for the Roe v. Wade decision. But when you look at the results more carefully, the support for Roe v. Wade was actually pretty low compared to other polls. This poll was conducted by ABC News and the Washington Post. It's conducted three polls in the past 13 months. Of those three, this poll found the lowest level of support for Roe v. Wade. Also, according to this poll, Roe fared more poorly than polls done by other outlets, including Quinnipiac University and the Kaiser Family Foundation. So this poll actually found relatively low levels of support for Roe v. Wade when compared to other polls on the same subject.
Why do surveys on Roe offer little insight into abortion attitudes?
Polls on Roe v. Wade, I think, are very misleading. And they're very misleading for two reasons. First off, most polls do not make it clear that Roe v. Wade effectively legalized abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy in all 50 states. That's a policy position that a relatively small percentage of Americans share. Again, most polls really don't make it clear how radical the Roe v. Wade decision was. Secondly, most polls don't make it clear what happens if Roe v. Wade's overturned. If Roe v. Wade's overturned, abortion is not banned. What simply happens is that abortion policy returns to the states, where state legislators and governors will make decisions about abortion policy. So I think that Roe v. Wade is just confusing to most people. Most polls don't explain what it did or what would happen if Roe v. Wade were reversed.
What has the passage and the subsequent challenge of the Texas heartbeat law done in regard to the media's reporting?
Well, the media's put on a full court press in recent weeks. Most of the coverage of the Texas law has been negative. The media has published many stories about women from Texas seeking abortions who've incurred delays or had to travel to other states. They've really not given much attention to the great work that pregnancy help centers in Texas are doing, helping women facing unintended pregnancies. So the media has really tried to use this Texas bill in a way to try to weaken support for the pro-life position. And as a result, the fact that public opinions on abortion have remained stable amidst this negative media coverage, I think is pretty telling. I think that's actually a very good sign.
In that vein, you say that we should stay the course, especially with Dobbs v. Jackson, Women Health Organization decision before the U.S. Supreme Court. Tell us about that case and why should we stay the course?
Yeah, next week the Supreme Court's going to hear oral arguments in the Dobbs case. And this is a very important case for pro-lifers. This is the first time since Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court should consider the constitutionality of a law that would protect preborn children after a certain stage of gestation. They looked at a bunch of other things. They looked at parental involvement laws. They looked at tax rate funding for abortion. They've looked at different kinds of abortion procedures. They've looked at different kinds of abortion facility regulations. But they've never looked at the very important question, can states protect preborn children after a certain stage of gestation? And I think it's very important because there's a good chance this law will be upheld. I think there's also a chance that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. I think that will allow states to do a lot more to protect preborn children. Pro-lifers have done a lot of good in the past 40 years. We've gotten the abortion rate down by over 50% since 1980, and I think a favorable ruling in this Dobbs case will allow pro-lifers to build on those gains.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute and a columnist for National Review Online. You can read his columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. New, thank you very much.
Thanks.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry advocates for the unborn, weak, and vulnerable. Check out their free pro-life resources at lcms.org/life, lcms.org/life. Pastor Hans Feeney joins us next. We're going to talk about a Lutheran view of transgenderism. Thank you. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is a series of sermons written by a Lutheran pastor during a late 16th century plague. The book is titled The Joy of Eternal Life by Pastor Philip Nicolai. The Joy of Eternal Life is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Find your own hope and comfort in knowing that eternal life waits for you with the new book, The Joy of Eternal Life.
Please know that you're welcome at Ascension Lutheran Church in Niles.
We believe that every word of Holy Scripture is true.
Jesus died and rose again for your salvation.
We pray for each other. It's a priority.
We help each other in times of need.
We help each other grow in faith.
We encourage one another.
We truly love one another.
We have room for you and those you love, Ascension Lutheran Church.
Niles and Illinois.
Concordia University, Wisconsin is a Lutheran higher education community committed to helping students develop in mind, body, and spirit for service to Christ in the church and in the world. Concordia seeks a postdoctoral researcher to participate in the LIGO experiment and streamline the discovery of multi-messenger astrophysical events. This position requires a PhD in physics or astronomy, computational experience, and an interest in Concordia's mission. Find more information at cuw.applicantpro.com/jobs.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.